Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Kamara looking for his fourth touchdown of the game. Stays on his feet. Alvin Kamara's got four. What a drive by the Saints. 7 yard line. Mayfield gonna run again. Baker up the middle. Inside the five. Mayfield lunging. Touchdown! Carlson kick on the way, and it is good! With 27 seconds left, Las Vegas goes up by three.
Here's obviously Murray was hurt for the first half last season. Back to battle. Launches. End zone. Harrison! First NFL touchdown for Marvin Harrison Jr. An impressive grab. We'll see if it stands. Rutgers kick for the win. He buries it.
Hey everybody. The 3 minutes before the show is just Joe and I riffing snark about different games.
Yeah. You mentioned the Brady. You didn't hear any Brady because he was on the Saints?
No. Here's Brady on a Saints game. I didn't see that one.
Nope, me neither.
I did have the quad red box zone going. I had red zone going quite a bit.
Wait, you had the quad box and red zone going?
No. Okay. Quad box for a while. And then once we got to the witching hour, because you can't... All right, someone explain this to me like I'm an idiot. I'm an old guy. I have red zone, but I think it's only on my phone, not on my television.
Okay.
Because I get Sunday ticket without red zone.
Yeah.
Because I know I get red zone by being a Bill season ticket holder.
Right. So, on like the NFL app?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had Sunday ticket on with a quad box.
Yeah.
And then when it got to the witching hour, like 3:30, I went for red zone on my phone and cast it to the television.
Yes.
So that was how I did it.
That's how I do it every week. That's how I watch Red Zone every week.
You can have it on your phone, but not on your TV, but you're allowed to put it from your phone to your TV.
Yeah. Seems like they didn't think that one through.
Or...
Which is fine. I'm taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
It's you just hit the little TV icon in the top right corner. It's like, oh, I do have it on my TV.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe you should give it to me on my TV so I don't have to go through all these, jump through these hoops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, happy Monday. What'd you take away from week two? There's your question. A stress-free Sunday without the Bills. It is a Buffalo Bills football Monday. We'll still treat it like a football Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. Plenty to talk about. We'll check in with Chris Brown, play-by-play man of the Buffalo Bills, because we didn't do that on Friday. So he's going to jump in today at 8:30, and we'll go around the league. We'll check in on everything. We'll do the stuff we normally do for the Bills. Check in on the injury report. Happy Buffalo Bills football Monday. Can it be a victory Monday? I mean, why not, right? Victory Friday, victory Saturday, victory Sunday, victory Monday.
Yeah, that works.
And they play a week from tonight against Jacksonville.
1 week, 7 days from tonight. What's the line in that game? I haven't even looked yet. Four and a half?
Last I saw was 4.5.
Okay.
I think it opened at 4.5.
I wonder if that's going to go a little bit higher. The Jags, I didn't watch a ton of their game yesterday because, like I said, I had two things going. So my setup was I had Jets and Titans on the big screen, and then on the littler screen I had Red Zone. And never did I see Browns and Jaguars on red zone. Like at the end, maybe. The Jaguars with no timeouts and like 50 seconds left.
It's funny you say that. They each made a bunch of trips to the red zone.
Did they?
They did.
Okay. They just ended up kicking field goals,
right? The Jaguars went to the red zone, I think, 4 times.
Okay.
And came away with 13 points total.
Okay. And the Browns went on a 16-play touchdown drive to open the game and then didn't score a touchdown again the rest of the way.
One thing you got from yesterday's games... Wasn't it the opposite of week one? Week one is nobody can pass the ball and scoring is down. And yesterday, scoring, at least from a fantasy football standpoint, it was a bonanza.
Yeah.
Everybody threw the ball. I saw deep shots everywhere. You know, it's not taking a shot at the Bills because right now they're in an offense that doesn't really hit down the field that much, and we hear a lot about cover two shells. I saw shots down the field everywhere yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some, I mean, Will Levis was throwing into double coverage,
I got
right?
Justin
down the
Jefferson
field.
Double coverage touchdown Jefferson. Down the field.
I mean, Kyler Murray threw like five of them.
Yes. Right? Marvin Harrison Jr. turns out he can run fast enough to play in the league.
I wonder how that'll check out because, you know, the scores end up being like not bad, right? The Bills would have had the third highest point total of the week if they had played yesterday. Well, I guess just they have the third highest point total of week two right now. And they scored 31.
Yeah.
That's fine, right?
Yeah.
There were some 20-16 games. Tampa and Detroit was supposed to be a lot of offense, and that wasn't. So, you know, I thought there was a little of both. You actually had some 300 yard passers yesterday, which did not happen in week one. Geno Smith got there. Brock Purdy got there.
You had a couple games where teams were able to call off the dogs in the second half. Little bit of that. I mean, that's the Saints.
Yeah.
That's the Chargers. Bryce Young's toast.
That team is unlike any other team in the league right now.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a power ranking today that anybody's putting together, like, don't even put the Panthers on it.
Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't even qualify, I feel like, for a power ranking.
They're going to pick a quarterback first overall.
Did you see? Yeah, they're going to give up on him, aren't they?
Yeah, I have to. Yeah.
I mean, how do you not? I got to find the stat real quick, but Bryce Young yesterday was like 1 for 8 on passes that went past the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Like, he played a football game yesterday and completed one pass that went past the line of scrimmage. So, yeah. My biggest takeaway would be that I don't think the Jets are very good.
No, I don't either.
I think the Titans kind of gave them that football game because Will Levis does awesome and amazing, crazy, dumb things that are amazing to watch. The roller coaster that is watching Will Levis play football is incredible. But in a football context, like, the Jets don't look amazing. They look fine. They look like an okay football team to me.
If I were to ask you to list the good AFC East teams, how many teams would you name? Ready, everybody? Let's list the good AFC teams. The Bills.
Yep. The Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Oh, however, the Chiefs having no Hollywood Brown for the season.
Okay, yep.
And Travis Kelce is non-existent in their offense. And yeah, Isaiah Pacheco is now hurt.
Yeah.
Like, the Chiefs,
Mahomes only had, I think, 150 yards yesterday.
He had a bunch of two picks and a fumble.
Yeah, two picks and a fumble, 151 yards passing.
Yeah, like, okay, yeah. That offense that was supposed to be fixed doesn't look fixed. Who else is good? I think Houston is good. I do think that. Their defense, they wreaked havoc yesterday. If you watched last night, the Houston Texans defense was all over Caleb Williams. Some of that's holding the ball. Mm-hmm. Some of that's Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are your two edges. So, okay, Bills, Texans, Chiefs. That it? Are the Steelers good? The Steelers are
no.
Steelers are 2-0.
No.
Are the
Filippone even was tweeting that game set football back 100 years.
Are the Patriots good?
No.
Okay.
They did. They are 1-0-1. I guess in a way.
Are the Dolphins good? If they were healthy, if Tua's in there, who's good? 2 years ago, we would have been all sitting here saying, like, wow, this AFC is so stacked. That's when the Chargers were going to be good and Russell Wilson went to the Broncos. And now I got Bills, Chiefs, Texans. Am I done?
Are the Chargers good? They are. Is it just them, the Bills, and the Chiefs that are 2-0 in the AFC?
And the Steelers.
And the Steelers.
Don't forget the Steelers.
It was almost, the Chiefs almost were not a part of that list. I ended up rooting for the Bengals because both of those teams annoy me, but, you know, hey, send them to 1-1. Let's put the Bills a little higher. Let's see if someone wants to get hot takey and put the Bills above the Chiefs in the power rankings in week two. So, yeah, hand the Chiefs a loss. Because I did have the thought about that game, too. Like, all right, the Chargers are respectable, and I can get a loss here on the Chiefs' resume to the Bengals, and the Bengals already have a loss. Well, like, all right, let me see if I can knock the Chiefs down a peg in the regular season standings. They got the win. But are the Chargers good? They haven't played anybody. They played Denver and Carolina.
Yeah, it's not too great.
Like, I have no idea. Herbert has thrown for, like, I think 280 yards in two games. But they're 2-0, so I don't know. Maybe the Chargers are good. I don't think I have a good test of that. I don't think Browns are good. I don't think the Jags are good.
Nope.
I don't think the Titans are good. I thought the Colts might be good, and
no.
Then, woof.
Nope.
That was a disaster. So, okay, is it three teams?
It might be three teams right now.
Aren't the Ravens still good? I know they're 0-2, and the loss of the Raiders. I know they can't really block, but aren't the Ravens good?
I feel like blocking is important.
It is. They took a bad sack. Max Crosby got right through on a pivotal drive yesterday.
Here are the Ravens' next few games. Cowboys.
Okay.
On the road at Dallas. Bills. Bengals. Commanders. Bucks. Browns. Careful, Baltimore.
Yeah, that's they better be careful.
Be
there.
Careful.
Yeah.
Anyway, 803-0550. I'm glad to hear you are rooting for the Bengals and not the Chiefs, because as we established at training camp, all Bills fans, so many Bills fans, just want the Chiefs to win if the Bills can't. And man, we need to start really pumping up the hatred for them. They are so obnoxious. They are the worst. The Chiefs are the worst, and not enough people say it. I know some people say it. Not enough people say how terrible the Chiefs are. The Chiefs are a disaster. They're horrible. Everything about them's awful. They hit a game-winning kick in week two, and the celebration is like they won the AFC Championship. Guys, you won back-to-back Super Bowls in 3 out of 4, and Harrison Butker hits a kick, and it's bedlam at Arrowhead. Oh, yeah. The NFL script writers, what do they do this time? Stop me if you've heard this before, Joe. Trailing late in the game, Patrick Mahomes brings them back to win for a game-winning kick at Arrowhead when all seemed lost, and then a flag was thrown to pull them out of the fire and beat, let me see, Cincinnati by 2 points. What? Obnoxious.
Yep.
Every game is the same. Every year is the same in the NFL right now. It's only week two. I look forward to the Chiefs doing exactly what they did at Arrowhead. Again at Arrowhead in 4 months, and people telling me dynasties are good.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are obnoxious.
Hey, lucky for you, they're only home in one of the next 5 weeks.
Wow, holy cow. Those
How about
games,
that?
I bet those games aren't televised. You're not allowed to watch games unless you see them at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah. They're on Nickelodeon. Yeah. Did you see I got aggregated a little bit for the stat I threw out about this on the Chiefs?
I did see that. I saw that you've got over like 2 million views for pointing out that Mahomes has... How many interceptions
and then
called back on flag?
And then it got aggregated by one of these JPA football accounts,
yes,
or whatever.
Someone that's making money off of your tweets.
Yeah, Mahomes has the most interceptions in the league since 2018 that were called back on defensive penalties.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
Who's second?
Second is, in that amount of time, I could tell you in 2 seconds. I don't think Allen's that far down the list. Allen maybe had like 12, and Mahomes has 17. So... Yeah, it's definitely true. It's in the play-by-play data. There's like a site where you can look it up. There's a Reddit post that has a link to it. So here you go. Mahomes does have the most. Yep, Stafford has the second most, then Burrow, then Josh Allen.
Okay.
And it actually even has it broken down by penalty.
There's a little bit of the guys that throw the ball there. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not Russell Wilson. It's not Justin Fields.
Right.
It's the guys that throw the ball a ton.
Yep, no, that's right.
Volume passers, to a degree.
Yep.
But still...
But he does point for the flag, and it comes out. Travis Kelce had one of these yesterday. Did you see the replay of Kelce doing the holding number 33 on the... There's the flag.
Yep.
That was a pivotal play too, wasn't it? Wasn't that on... That was maybe the called back interception, if I remember correctly. I don't remember. It's okay, because by the way, ball don't lie, and Mahomes threw a pick like 2 plays later.
Yep.
Which was a gorgeous interception. Yeah, no, they're... Once you get into the game, it's like... Training camp, sure. Like, oh, I'd rather the Chiefs win. Like, the Bengals annoy me. I don't need them winning. The Chiefs have already won. Who cares? And then once the game starts and the game is going, it's the fourth quarter.
It's
impossible. And there's Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes going in the suite. And there's Kelce and his mustache, you know, pointing at the ref. Just, ugh. Rooting against them is so easy once the game is actually going.
Well, the NFL scriptwriters for the Taylor Swift angle, they're going to need Travis Kelce to play football and not have... Fewer catches on the season than... I haven't checked this. I should check this. Does he have fewer catches than Dawson Knox right now? But Travis Kelce is non-existent.
He had one catch yesterday, right?
Yeah. And the week before, he had...
Two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, a non-existent part of their offense.
Well, I mean, what does it mean for them? Does it mean anything for them if he is not... Like, if this is it? Like, he's hit the wall?
No, probably not. Well, long-term, yes. But they could also be load managing, I guess. There's a lot of chatter about that they want him healthy in December, in January, in February.
So his stat line is not going to be crazy, but by the playoffs, he's going to be fine?
Maybe. Your fantasy football team's not going to be fine if you've got Kelce. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
I took a lot of him this year.
I mean, I wonder if they're at home and they needed a defensive touchdown to win. Actually, wait, they needed two things. To win by 1 point against the Bengals, they needed a defensive touchdown, and they also needed the Bengals kicker to miss an extra point that I'm still not really sure missed.
And why they didn't kick it. Didn't make sense to kick it.
Yeah.
A 2-point conversion there sends you from up 5 to up 7.
Right.
Instead, they went up 6 and missed it, so they were only up 5.
Wait a minute. That's right, they did do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that should have been a 2-point conversion the whole way.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe in some way they deserve to miss it. But again, watch the replay in that. Like, I thought the uprights go to the heavens. Like, it was real close. They looked a little too confident that missed. So, they got breaks. They got the fourth and 16. What's their win probability on that right before that play? Is it 8%?
If you plug it in for the Chiefs, you have to include the Arrowhead flag that's coming. So, it's like still 95.
Yeah.
Fourth and 16, it's still a win percentage of 95% for them.
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs. 803-0550. What did you take away? You know, what'd you take away from this week? The conference, the division, if you want, if you watched the Jets and the Titans, if you watched, you know, the Bengals and the Chiefs, if you watched the Niners and the Vikings, whatever it was. Your takeaways, a little bit of Diggs. I saw Diggs had 5 catches last night. Not a lot of offense in that game. Houston's offense.
Four for 37.
Yeah. He had 5 targets, maybe.
Yep.
By the way, he's second on the Texans in targets last night.
Yeah, Tank Dell didn't do anything.
One target for Tank Dell.
For negative yardage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that offense right now doesn't look like it's at its peak. And, you know, ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say if you're a Bills fan right now, you're probably feeling pretty good. Like, listen, the reports of a transition year have been greatly exaggerated, and things are doing just fine. It might even make you feel really good how good Arizona looked. I mean, here's Marvin Harrison, 1 catch for 4 yards against the Bills, and he goes off for 130 in the first half against the Rams.
Yep. Like, for his first 2 plays.
Yep.
Were touchdowns, like one, and he was beating, who was he? Was he beating Tre'Davious White on
the second
plays?
One, Tre'Davious White, I didn't see who he beat on the first one. It might have been Tre White.
Okay.
But that's an incredible catch.
Right.
And on the second one, he comes all the way across, and there's a zone coverage, and the Rams just lose him.
Yeah, remember we were talking about how slow he was running in week one, and there was right there the numbers, like, 22 miles or 21 miles per hour clocked for Marvin Harrison Jr., so.
Turns out he's fine.
It turns out he's fine, which, right, like, I had that thought. The Bills have the secret sauce to shutting down other teams' number one wide receivers.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for multiple years. It should have been that surprised that, they held Marvin Harrison Jr. to nothing in his first game, and then he immediately went off in game number 2. His stat line would have been higher if the Rams didn't get injured and couldn't keep up, because their offense is completely toast. Now everybody's hurt there.
Yeah.
So that was a takeaway. Man, the Jets takeaway, though, is still, like, that's the one for me. Because the Patriots were competitive again. But am I right to just dismiss them? Like, that team can't be good. Brissett and the offense in general, like, there's no way that's holding up over the course of an entire season. Like, to me, and Tua's injury probably being long-term, like, the only team in this division I feel like I am even caring about right now is the Jets. And they looked like a pedestrian football team that could have lost to a bad Titans team yesterday if things had bounced a different way.
It might be somewhat hot take, but I'll go for it. Why not? I'll try and hot take it, 6:20 on Monday. I think the Jets play offense like they have a game manager at quarterback.
I think that's how they look.
Watch them. That's their run-pass split. I mean, he threw a couple of nice plays. He had a nice touchdown pass to Breece Hall. But the days of getting Aaron Rodgers at his very, very best... He had 176 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. And do you see the kinds of passes he does throw? They are kind of
game managed.
Like, it is bam, snap, quick. Bam, snap, screen. Snap, quick. Run. Like, yeah, they do. They don't want him really holding the ball that much.
Yep.
Their offense, it almost kind of looks... I don't think the play designs are quite like this. I don't know if Nathaniel Hackett is capable of designing plays like this. But... other than the creativity and, like, the routes and whatnot, like, the way how the offense is designed to first read, ball out kind of offense, like, the offense almost feels like the way the Dolphins play with Tua, which is, let's just make sure this ball is out within 2.5 seconds. That's how the Jets seem like they're playing offense. And I don't know how sustainable that is when they go up against legitimately great defenses. So... yeah, if they have a game manager, Rodgers, at quarterback, like, I think their offense should be better than last year, but They're not some Super Bowl contender.
They don't look like a juggernaut at all.
No.
Their defense does not look like the reputation it has built. Their offense, Garrett Wilson looks really good. Breece Hall looks really good. Braylon Allen had another nice plays.
Yep.
So they've got some players, but
Williams had a really nice catch yesterday, but like it's not a lot.
All of this is for everybody that throughout the season said, as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. We're seeing why, right? As long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance, because a lot of these teams that have quarterbacks that need them to be at their very, very best, and their best isn't as good as Josh Allen's best. That's why you all always have a chance. If you get Josh Allen at his best, there are very few teams.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Teams that can compete with you, even if you might be missing things at other spots. Like on the Bills right now, you know, we're 2 weeks into the season. They're 2-0. And I was telling friends this about the Monday night game. Like, oh, what's going to go on Monday night football? My buddies are asking me, am I going to go? I don't know. I'll figure it out. You know, family, kids, blah, blah, blah. But I do have the feel that on Monday night, the juice will be back a little bit. Not that it was gone, because it was rowdy in the opener. But these 2 weeks, and especially the way that they beat Miami, whether it's the defense and the way that it's come together with a no-name squad, to a point. Like, you know, you're plugging and playing, guys. You're missing three of your better defenders, and you're still getting the job done. Like, you got to feel good about it. And maybe it's the year that McDermott gets a little bit more credit, and with that, you start to feel like, well, as long as I have Josh Allen and a Sean McDermott defense, I'm going to have a good team. Because right now, that's what the Bills look like. Like a Josh Allen offense and a Sean McDermott defense is always going to be a good team. Mm-hmm. The question is, can they get to the top of the mountain? There's going to be a year where, I don't know, maybe they do. Is it this year? Well, we'll find out. That's why we're going to watch the games. 803-0550 to all you out there in fantasy football land. Hopefully you didn't play against Alvin Kamara.
Yep. I did not play against Alvin Kamara. Hopefully you didn't play against Malik Nabers yesterday. Yeah. 18 targets.
Yeah.
Also, that game will be, we should toss that game around at some point. Dable, and there's a clip around where Dable is getting just berated with questions about a question I've never heard asked of a coach before, which is just, why didn't you dress a backup kicker? Which, like, would anybody ever expect that any coach in the league would ever do that? The reason that's being asked is the Giants basically lost their game yesterday. They set history. Here's a stat of the day for you. The Giants are the first team to ever score 3+ touchdowns. Their opponents score 0 touchdowns and lose the football game.
Yeah.
Washington did not score a touchdown. The Giants scored 3 and they lost. That's incredible.
It is incredible. I've got a million stats of the day for you. One of them was on that Washington game because the Commanders' drives.
Yeah.
You mentioned they didn't score a touchdown. They also didn't punt, and they didn't turn it over. The Commanders...
That's insane.
The Commanders went field goal, field goal, field goal, end of half, field goal, field goal, field goal. That's their drives.
Wait. Not even like a turnover on downs?
No.
Every drive was a field goal?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of... It's like the Bills' perfect game, isn't it?
A little bit.
We need a name for it, though. It's not the perfect game.
It's three field goals, kneel to end the half, 4 field goals, ball game. That's the Commanders yesterday.
That's incredible.
That's not quite scoregami, but it feels like it should be.
That should be. That is incredible. A field goal on every drive.
Yes. Special teams player of the week is the Commanders kicker. 7 field goals, no misses.
Wow. That's insane.
Yeah. I got a lot of stats of the day for you. We'll chew through some stats of the day. We'll chop it up about all this stuff. Rashee Rice had a big long touchdown. Marvin Harrison, Justin Jefferson. Big injuries around the league as well. Happy Monday. We're on to Jacksonville. Gabe Davis revenge game. Gabe Davis revenge game. The Jags, they're 0-2. And they've got a pair of losses to the Dolphins and now the Browns. And that's a game where red zone issues were the problem. Trevor Lawrence says, we suck about their offense. We'll find out if they still do on Monday night. Jeremy and Joe, it's Buffalo Bills football Monday. You can give us a call. What did you take away from week 2? Thoughts on the Bills win over the Dolphins after having a couple days to sleep on it? You can give that to us as well. 803-0550 on WGR.
Fake to Connor. Hurry on the rollout. Looking deep for Harrison! Marvin Harrison Jr. to the end zone! Touchdown again!
Kind of a Buffalo Bills football Monday. Highlights from around the league. Highlights of the game. That game was Marvin Harrison. He had better highlights against the Rams than he did against the Bills. Highlights brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next.
Also, the Kyler Murray revenge game in our fantasy meeting this week because you traded him to me last year.
Yep.
And then he proceeded to have the best game of his career.
And one of the best games ever quarterbacked in NFL history.
Really?
If you go by QBR.
Because he only attempted 21 passes.
We'll make these the Skyworks stats of the game. Brought to you by Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Funny thing about when you're able to pop around, see all these games instead of focusing on the Bills and watching the Bills in one game, you've got Kyler Murray, who had one of the best games ever.
Yep.
Derek Carr had possibly the best game ever quarterbacked. On a QBR scale that goes from 0 to 100, right? Everyone kind of gets that. 0 to 100, you don't have to understand how QBR works. The only reason Carr does not have technically the best quarterback game of all time is he did not throw enough passes to qualify, I think, is the final number of it.
How many did he throw?
He went for, against the Cowboys.
Let's see, I'm almost there. It was 44 to...
Oh, there's a different game, I guess, because he did throw an interception, so it couldn't be perfect.
He was 11 of 16 for 243 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick.
Yeah.
QBR of 99.4.
There you go. But that's not enough passes to be considered the best game of all time.
You gotta get to 20, maybe?
Yeah, so even with an interception.
Man.
Yep. They hit Rashid Shaheed for big plays. They hit Kamara for big plays.
I mean, he averaged 20 yards of completion in this game. Olave finally got going a little bit, didn't he, too?
Yep, a little bit. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Asking you for your takeaways of week 2. What'd you see on Sunday? What'd you see in the late game, whether that's Texans-Bears? And
how many teams are you really worried about?
Who's
right
good,
now?
Right?
Right, like, I'm not... I still want to put some respect on the Ravens, but I kind of thought they would be down this year at the start. So right now, like, I'm worried about the Chiefs the way you normally would be, and there's nobody else where I'm going, man, the Bills better look out when they play blank. The Bills better, you know, keep an eye on this team. Like, one eye on the next game, one eye on who? The Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs for the one seed, of course, but they don't look great. They don't look great in part because their offense, maybe that's what you would say, pass protection issues or whatever. I mean, they throw to Worthy yesterday. Mahomes gets picked throwing it to Worthy. It's not a great throw. I mean, he's not open, first off, and then the throw is probably not where it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, you made the right point earlier, like what Hollywood Brown being out for the year, like that might be really impactful because Worthy is a rookie, and if Kelce is going to be slow played or he's just a little bit, you know, older and he's a little less athletic, that's a team where, you know, the Bills and their ground and pound game with James Cook, like the Chiefs have leaned into a run game in their own right. Like Isaiah Pacheco, what was the split yesterday? Mahomes had 25 attempts and Pacheco had 19 carries. Carson Steele, by the way, had 7 carries. So they ran a
fumble.
They had 32 rush attempts in the game and 25 pass attempts. So, okay, the Chiefs want to run the ball. right? And their running back was seen on crutches after the game yesterday. And did you see the injury? He got caught under a guy on the final drive and got bent back. Like, I don't know. That could be a bad injury.
Yeah.
So I'm not here to tell you the Chiefs are doomed if their seventh-round running back of a couple years ago is injured. But they clearly want to run the ball, and he is their workhorse. Like, he is the easy number one guy. And if he's out, like, you're down to this undrafted rookie Carson Steele maybe being their starting running back. All right. Let's see if you can run the ball. Because if you're going to try to drop back and throw it all the time, like, they don't look like they have this massive improved room of weapons that we thought they did.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Whatever game you watched, whatever takeaway you've got, you can share it with us. And we'll get in some stuff on Tua as well. A lot of good context on Tua from whether it's Manti Te'o, Bart Scott, Teddy Bruschi spoke on the idea of, like, coming back to play when they tell you you shouldn't. We'll play his comments. His were very, very good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Bruschi had a stroke, and should I come back? What can I do? I've got a thing implanted in my brain. How will that work? He told the stories of his conversations with doctors and with his family, and it was important. So Tua appears to be planning to come back, and that'll be met with, you know, criticism, concern, definitely concern. No doubt about that. We'll go to the phones. Connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. West of New York's number one Kia dealer. Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. You know, the best team without a doubt I've ever rooted for in my life was the late 90s Yankees. And besides being as skillful as any other team in baseball in that era, they were also lucky. Everything bounced right for them. Of course, you know, a kid Jeffrey Mayer would stick his hand over and catch a ball for them in Baltimore. Of course, when Derek Jeter drifts over to the right foul line, he's going to relay a perfect flip to Jorge Posada, who's going to make a tag on Jeremy Giambi. These things just always fell right for the 90s Yankees, and their luck never changed until Game 7 of the 0-1 World Series against the Colorado Rockies, when Mariano Rivera gives up a blooper to Luis Gonzalez to end that series. And I hate to say this, but of course there was going to be and it was a good pass interference call, but of course the Bengal player was going to get there early when he didn't really have to, and Kansas City was going to win that game, because besides being as good as any team in the NFL, they're simply luckier. And until something happens in a playoff game, a catastrophic blunder by Kansas City that just blows it for them, I just don't think... I believe in luck. They have it. I don't know why, but they do.
Yeah, they've had it. I mean, they have had it in a sense against the Bengals, because that's two games now I can remember ending on game-winning Chief field goals because they were set up by Bengal penalties.
Yep.
The AFC Championship game, was the AFC Championship game or was it a divisional round? AFC Championship, right? Where Mahomes is running out of bounds and a Bengal linebacker just decides, I'm going to hit him. Game over. Game over, right? The Chiefs didn't do anything to make that guy decide to do that. They got lucky that the Bengal linebacker didn't realize maybe where he was or was just playing reckless and hit Mahomes out of bounds. 15-yard penalty, game over with a field goal for Butker. That play yesterday, maybe you could say a little more like they caused it, because, you know, there's a play there that Rice is there. He's in front of the defender. The defender's got to time it better, and he probably can just knock it down. But, you know, that's a little lucky, right? That the defender just decides, I'm going to climb over Rashee Rice's back to try to get this football and take the penalty, because now they're in field goal range. If he doesn't do that, if he waits and times it properly, then ball down, game over. Bengals win.
Yep.
So there is luck. There's luck involved.
There's luck for a lot of these teams, and these games are so close. I mean, one of Tom Brady's Super Bowls is very unlucky in that David Tyree makes that catch. And one is very lucky in that Malcolm Butler jumps and intercepts Russell Wilson at the 1 yard line or in the end zone or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's definitely luck, and the Bills get some. For me, the point you're making, Paul, about of course they're going to get that flag, it is just, I make a joke about the NFL writers, and anybody saying, like, oh, what the script writers do this year? If the NFL had script writers, they'd be fired for doing the same thing every season. Guys, we're going to need something other than the Chiefs winning in their stadium against Cincinnati with a flag.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something else. This is boring. Right. It's exhausting. If you're, I think about it this way. I know, you know, you're more used to leaving games because you, I've seen this before. They're going to lose. I'm out of here. I'm exhausted. I've seen this movie too many times. I legitimately had the thought yesterday, if when the flag goes on 4th and 16 for the Chiefs to win, if a Chiefs fan wouldn't say, I'm out of here. I've seen this before. They're going to kick it and they're going to win.
Yeah.
I know how this happens.
Did you hear Jim Nance going into the 2-minute warning? Maybe we can find the, I don't know if the clip is out there. They're going into the break. So like, okay, 2-minute warning, Chiefs have the ball, and they're about to go to commercial. And Jim Nance goes something along the lines of, all right, 2-minute warning. We'll see how this one ends. I have a feeling it might come down to Butker's right foot to win it at the end. To win, I think he said to win it at the end.
Yeah.
Like, Nance told you exactly what was going to happen because he's seen it 10 times.
A million times.
He's like, yeah, it's going to come down to Butker.
How are we not exhausted by it?
I mean, I am exhausted by it. Aren't we? Aren't we exhausted by it?
Yes.
Is everybody exhausted by it, though?
Yes.
They should be.
Isn't Mahomes exhausted by it? Hey, you guys won again on the last play on a field goal after a flag. They won a Super Bowl on a flag. It was a tie game with the Philadelphia Eagles, and they got Bradbury for a pass interference to set up a chip shot field goal.
That's right. Yep.
It's not. It's just obnoxious.
Hey, I'm hesitant to do the penalty thing too much, though. I know I've got like 80,000 likes on a tweet about the Chiefs getting penalties yesterday, but I do hesitate to do the penalty thing with the Chiefs because I don't want to just sound like, oh, the league's out to make the Chiefs the best team.
No, I don't want to sound that like that either, and that's why I'm saying like any idea that there's a fix being in,
right,
the fix is
right.
Boring.
Right.
Fix it some other way.
Anything.
Suspend an opponent. Really, do anything else.
Yeah.
We've even seen the, oh, he's hurt. We're going to need their backup to play for a drive. I'm sure that'll happen this year.
Yeah. Man, they are, speaking of luck, by the way, aren't they lucky that the Rashee Rice suspension hasn't kicked in yet and isn't coming till next year?
Unbelievably lucky.
Because he is their only thing that is really, like, that's their, he caught a deep touchdown yesterday. And that's not even really his thing, right? He's more middle of the field, yak stuff, slot, and there he is running up the sidelines by a defender for a touchdown yesterday. Like, Rice is there. That's Mahomes' guy right now. And, I mean, there's a very strong argument that he should not be on the field right now because he got in a multi-car accident, left the scene, and injured a bunch of people during the summer. And then got arrested again, I think, in a nightclub. Like, he probably shouldn't be on the field right now. But he is, and the Chiefs, like, clearly need him.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Closing in on the start of Sabre season as well. Prospects Challenge going on from Harbor Center.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we'll keep you updated on the start of Sabre season, which is getting close. Camp is
next week,
yes.
I think. I mean, we're 5 days away from their first preseason game. I got a quick Sabres question to get you later that I got asked on a podcast this weekend, and I didn't know how to answer it.
All right. Jeremy and Joe, you give us a call on WGR.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, throughout the season, just finding different ways to win. You know, whether it's, hey, maintaining the, you know, win up front, rushing the football, and there's going to come time and place when we're going to have to throw the ball 50 times. It's about just being willing to be able to adjust to how the game's being played and being able to dictate the terms also. Know that, hey, we can win any way that we need to. You know, watching a guy like Josh and just loving life, no matter whether he's throwing it 10 times, whether he's throwing it 50 times, but just how he was out there having a lot of fun, you know, and taking what the defense was giving him and leading out there, not having to do everything was a lot of fun.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. That slice of audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Eye on the quarterback. Let's do an eye on Tua, because there's a lot of news about him over the weekend, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Our business is protecting your business. Teddy Bruschi, I mentioned we'll play the clip a little bit later today, but we're a little short on time here. One of the things that I thought was the best way to say it, like, you don't understand, if you're not a player, you don't understand this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people will say that, oh, you never played, you didn't. And here's one where I hadn't thought of this yet about Tua, and once Teddy Bruschi said it, I'm like, oh, that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you want to play, you're a competitor, football is your life, the idea of walking away from football is impossible for so many guys. Think about when you get old, you break down, you still have trouble leaving the game. And here's a guy who Brewski's basically saying, when I had my stroke, I was told, you know, I might never play. And then I feel good. I feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I want to play. My entire life, when I feel good, I want to play football. And he added, there's also the element of, I can't go out like that. That that is something that he would imagine Tua will feel. I can't go out like that.
Yeah.
Guys want to go out on their own terms. Sometimes you retire because teams don't think you can play anymore. Sometimes you blow out your knee. Sometimes you win the Super Bowl and ride off in the sunset. And for Tua, the whole, I can't go out like that. I thought that was, you know, it's a good look into the athlete mindset. If you're Tua, I'm running the ball on week two against a rival, and I made a stupid decision. I can't go out like that.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's a good point.
There's also
Don't usually just ever go out that early.
No.
Like, Andrew Luck did, I guess.
Yeah, there are guys that decide to retire early.
It's not many.
No, it's not. And then
especially a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, there have been, I remember there was a Bills, was it A.J. Tarpley? The Bills had, like, a backup linebacker who once, like, just decided to retire after 1 year. Like, what? Just, okay, like at 24. But when a starting quarterback does it, yeah, I would understand if he didn't want that to be his lasting memory. That play, too, like him being out in the field like that.
Yep. 803-0550, it is Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Give us a call if you'd like. Your takeaways from week two and the AFC hierarchy. What's it look like to you? Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
It's all.